Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything. Everything. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.
Broadcasting from Bashani Radio, iHeart, iTunes, and Spotify, live from New York City, this is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to lindamonroe.com. I want to thank all of my listeners for listening to my broadcast each week. I'm very excited about the Christmas holiday, and I hope you are. I just want to thank you and hope my broadcast has been a blessing and given you a way to change your life. Tonight I have the opportunity of interviewing a very, very special guest. His name is Sean Ingram. His motto is the man, the mission, and the ministry. Sean is an author, educator, motivational speaker, spoken word artist, and founder and CEO of the Sean Ingram Creative Arts Academy in Raleigh, North Carolina. Good evening, Sean. How are you?
Good evening. How are you doing? Thank you for having me.
Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to do this interview with me tonight. Now, Sean, tell us a little bit more about you and the Lord's point in your life and how it got you to where you are today.
Okay, well, I am Sean Ingram. I'm an author, motivational speaker, and founder of the Sean Ingram Academy. The Sean Ingram Academy, you know, our only mission in ministry is really to help transform at-risk youth into productive citizens, or help, you know, adults go from their struggles to their success. And it is, it's based off my own life. You know, my latest book, my autobiography, is actually called From Poverty to Prison to Prosperity. So when we talk about some of those, you know, I won't say the lowest point. I think mine is just a multiple of low points, right? I don't know if there is a lowest. It's just almost just multiple very, very low points in my life that has always taught different lessons and stood as tools to help me catapult to where I am now, to be honest with you. I'll definitely go back to the first. It's just my childhood, just the childhood of poverty, a childhood of chaos. You know, my mom was on drugs. My father was in prison until I was like 8 years old. I had an alcoholic uncle. So being raised with my grandmama, I saw her just going through a lot of chaos and a lot of pain and a lot of nights that she cried and cried and cried for her children. So it really just affected me in so many different ways, and especially being as poor as we was. You know, I'm only 42 years old now, and I grew up with an outhouse until I was 10 years old. So I don't think a lot of people understand, you know, the severity of the poverty that I actually grew up in. Fast forward a couple of years, and I actually went to prison. I served 5 years in a federal prison for armed bank robbery, just being at a low mental point in my life at that time. Just a lot of thoughts of suicide, a lot of thoughts of giving up. It was almost like God took me out of chaos and put me in prison and saved me. And that's when I actually had a conversation with God and was like, hey, man, you know, what you want from me? I've tried everything. I've done all I know to do, but it just ain't working. And this is...
Two, host, and one participant in this conference. The recording has started. This session is no longer being recorded. The recording has started. Please announce yourself.
Call back in and restart this over.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Broadcasting from Vershani Radio, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, live from New York City, this is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to lindamonroe.com. Tonight I have a very, very special guest for you. It's an honor to have him with me tonight. His motto is the man, the mission, the ministry. Sean Ingram is an author, educator, motivational speaker, spoken word artist, and founder, CEO of the Sean Ingram Creative Academy, Creative Art Academy. Good evening, Sean. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm great. I am so honored to have you take time out of your busy schedule to come do this interview with me tonight. Tell my listeners a little bit about you and what you do. I just want to thank them for listening to my broadcast each week and hope this is a blessing to them that's making them change their lives. So tell us a little bit more about you and what you do and the lowest point of your life that has gotten you to where you are today.
Okay, definitely. Well, I am Sean Ingram. I'm an author, motivational speaker, and founder of the Sean Ingram Academy. And the Sean Ingram Academy, our mission and ministry is simply to transform our at-risk youth citizens and help adults go from their struggles to success. You know, I grew up, when we talk about some of my lowest points, I can't talk about a lowest point. I think I just had a multiple of low points that helped mold me into the man that I am today. But, you know, going back to my earliest childhood memories of just severe poverty, growing up with my grandmother, you know, a lot of people don't know that I'm 43 years old now, but actually we had an outhouse until I was like 10 years old. And, you know, so when we talk about severe poverty, you know, that's where I come from. And then on top of that, you know, my mother was on drugs. My father was always in and out of prison. I actually met my father when I was like 8 years old because he came home from a murder charge. And then I had an uncle that was very alcoholic. So, you know, I just saw my grandmother just go through a lot of pain and anguish or a lot of chaos pretty much my entire childhood. Then we fast forward a couple of years, and then I find myself in a federal prison for 5 years, armed bank robbery. And even leading up to there, it was just a very, very low point for me mentally. So when you're talking about thoughts of suicide or, you know, just kind of giving up, just feeling very despondent in life, that's where I were mentally. And while in prison, that's when I really had this conversation with God to say, God, what you really want from me? I've done everything I know to do. I tried all I know to try. And you know, my life is just, it just seems so chaotic. And he told me, he said, I gave you every gift and talent that you ever had, but you never did it for me. And I just made the decision, all right, God, I'm going to ride with you because I ain't got nothing to lose now. And hence, first, the starting of the journey from poverty to prison to prosperity, which is, you know, my latest book, my autobiography. And even coming out of prison, you know, just building this business. I've been homeless at times. I've, you know, just gone through so much trials and tribulations, especially financial up and down, trying to build this business. But, you know, through the grace of God, I've always survived. I just actually created one of my latest T-shirts that said, my survival is my success. And I always say that, you know, I think, you know, success ain't about what you can do. It's about what you can endure. So I just thank God that I was able to endure those low points and learn from those low points and within those low points to help catapult me where I am now.
And what made you do the Creative Arts Academy? I see you've got an award for being a poet, and so you write poetry as well?
Yes, ma'am. I'm a vocal word artist by trade. And, I was that kid. I was that kid that was very creative, you know, and I just truly believe in, even within the educational system, we learn two different ways. You know, we have creative learners and we have technical learners. I believe that's, you know, pinpoint for technical learners. You know, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's, you know, science is this. This is this way. If you don't do it this way, you won't succeed, in a sense. And my brain was different. And my vision was different. So I started the Creative Arts Academy. But, you know, being different made me feel like I was an outcast also. And, you know, you don't have a lot of conversations to say, hey, you know what, you can own your own radio show one day. You know what, matter of fact, you can own your own radio station one day, right? So when you start having those conversations, very few people understand what you're talking about. So, therefore, you're going to get a very, very small support group. So I started the Sean Ingram Creative Arts Academy so like-minded kids, like-minded adults can have a learning space that we have a support group to say, you know what, you're an artist. You know, you're a singer, you're this, I can teach you how to monetize your gifts and talent.
Okay, now, after the prison situation, and you said you were lucky to go to a federal prison because you know that's a lot different from a state prison. So how did that propel you into where you are today?
Well, going to federal prison?
Yes.
Well, I didn't have a choice but to go to federal prison because of my charge. I think that just the mindset of the people that I was around. You know, when you're in federal prison, and I, like I said, I've never been to a state prison, but I hear, you know, stories about it. But I know the prison that I was at, that was very, I mean, you had a lot of business people. You had a lot of, you know, mafia people. You had some of your, you know, I guess what you want to call your higher class drug dealers. And so the mindset of entrepreneurship and ownership was just a lot different. So a lot of these conversations and sitting around these round tables, I learned a lot, you know, to understand and say, hey, you know, if you learn how to own yourself, about the discipline, about, and I think that's what a lot of people think. I think, you know, when people think about prison, it's just bad people there. Now, there's some very, very smart people in prison who made some very bad decisions, right? So I soaked it up like a sponge, and I learned a lot. And that's the thing I always tell people. I say, hey, man, I've been a hustler my whole life, and I'm still a hustler. There ain't no doubt about it. I just learned to change the product. So instead of selling drugs or instead of selling weed or negativity or anything that's going to be degrading to me, my family, or anybody else, my community, now I sell inspiration. I sell hope. I sell, you know, knowledge. I sell wisdom. I sell Sean Ingram. And that's the thing. I think a lot of us coming from the streets, we don't understand that we have the same attributes as a Fortune 500 CEO. We just don't have the product, or we don't have the understanding that we are entrepreneurs just like they are.
Well, that is so awesome because that's much needed. I know I have a prison ministry, so my sister would always tell me, why don't you try to get those people turned around before they go to prison? But, you know, you have to do what God placed you here to do. So that was my thing. I help you transition back into society. So I am so thrilled to know that you are getting our youth turned around before they get into the system.
Definitely. I mean, because that's the thing. Like, you know, like when you, I mean, exactly what you just said, too. When you think about, you know, like they used to be a saying, we used to say, you know, because, of course, when you serve prison time, you're ready to get out. You know, you want to get out as soon as possible. But then the mindset was, don't be ready to get out. Be prepared to get out. Like, you can get out today, but what are you going to go back to? Are you going back to homelessness? Are you going back through the same struggle and the same situation that brought you into prison? Be prepared. Are you reading? Are you studying yourself? Are you learning? You know, so I was prepared to come home. And when I came home, I had a mindset to say, hey, I'm going to put myself in a position never that I never have to go back to prison again. That was just my mindset. That is my mindset. To say, you know what, I'm going to equip myself with so much knowledge, so much skills that I can own myself, but the last thing I'm going to have to worry about is going back to somebody's prison.
I know that's right, and, you know, in my situation, I see a lot of guys, like you say, they just sit there and do the time and do not prepare themselves, and they, you know, they come out and they become a revolving door to the prison system, and, of course, that's exactly the prison system's agenda, to make you be a recidivist, and they just don't get it.
That's right.
But it's truly amazing how you, at your age, come out of prison and just ran with what God envisioned you to do.
Well, and you know, I was telling a friend the other day, but I've always had these visions. And to be honest with you, it's not that I ran with it. I accepted it. Prior to prison, I ran from it. You know, like, so when you're sitting in the trenches, in a sense, and he's telling you, hey, there's a big lake on the other side, and with all the fish that you want, you don't see it. You're like, God, you're tripping. Nah, that ain't for me. I'm going to be a role model. I'm going to be an inspiration to somebody. And God showed me this vision even when I was 8, 9, 10 years old and that poverty that I was talking about. So a lot of my conversations when I used to tell people, like, hey, you know, I don't know what it is, but I'm going to be a leader one day. Like, I see greatness in my path. I see greatness in my future. I'm going to inspire a lot of people. Man, you, what are you talking about? You ain't even got, you know me, a color TV in your house. What are you talking about? So, but I ran from it a long time because I just didn't believe it could be me. And in prison, like I said, I just really just had a conversation with God and asked him, hey, man, what you want from me? And he said, hey, I gave you every gift and talent that you ever needed, but you never did it for me. I said, well, I ain't got nothing left to lose, so I'm going to try it. And, you know, thank God for me, I did. And I just learned to stay steadfast, you know, to stay stand still and stay steadfast. And, every promise that he ever made to me has came to pass. So, you know, now it's hard for me not to believe. You know, even when he showed me a vision that's bigger than my understanding, it's hard for me not to believe because, you know, through my life, he is always faithful.
Yeah, he's definitely a deliverer of his word. And if he tells you something, you better take it to the bank because it's definitely going to come to pass. And that's the thing, you know, it's so hard for people to believe that. Even when they see it happening with you, they just can't believe it's a God that is that good, that can just bring the manifestation of what he placed you here and the purpose that he has for you to come into that manifestation. And they just can't wrap their mind around that I have a purpose on this earth. I just wasn't put here to just exist. I was put here to be a blessing.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Even myself now, like when I go through my, you know, just challenges, you know, business challenges, paying payroll, making my monthly quota for the month, you know, sometimes I just sit back now and just be in amazement because I'm almost ready to watch what God's going to do, you know. It's like, okay, he brought me out of every other situation. I wonder how he's going to do this now. So I'm not afraid of losing. I'm just kind of in amazement to see how he's going to make this thing, you know, like the Bible says, everything works for the betterment of him, right? I just be amazement that he using me as a tool, and I just be like, yo, let's see what God's going to do this time, because I'm down and out, you know? Like, I know it ain't nothing that I could do to change nothing. Let me see what God's going to do. So it's like I stand in amazement. So every month, to be honest with you, just be like, wow, I see it.
So did you accept the Christianity in prison, or was it something that you grew up with?
Well, I grew up.
Did your grandmother plant that seed, or?
Yeah, no, definitely. My grandmother, you know, definitely. I grew up in church. I mean, and that's why I tell people, like, I just speak my reality. I speak my truth. You know, so I don't I'm not the most religious person. Like, I don't. You know, whether it's Christianity or Islam or Muslim, you know what I mean? Like, I just know God, me, right? And the spiritual relationship. And I grew up in a church. I grew up in Free Will Baptist Church. I grew up as an usher standing beside the pastor. You know, like you said, I've always heard, you know, the stories and people saying this. But I remember one time this man said, hey, I ain't telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I know for myself. And I remember a man said, you know, when you know the greatness of God, that's all you're going to want to talk about. And I wasn't a believer to that, you know what I mean, magnitude growing up. Because, I saw a lot of chaos. I saw a lot of pain and anguish. I just didn't understand, well, you know, if God loved us all, why would he let some of us go through all this chaos? But just growing and, like you said, going through hell, and to see how God has held my hand, and it's like, okay, I feel it now. Like, I know what it is. You know, like, and that's a lot of things. I just think, you know, so many people just staying divisive, you know, through religion and through other things. It's like, nah, you know, but the grace of God is, like, for all. Like, trust and believe, I wasn't standing in line with my hand up saying, hey, choose me, God. Right? I'm telling you, I ran from it. God chose me and put me on the path, and I'll be honest with you, every door that I tried to escape through, he closed the door and be like, nope, you're going to be the leader that I chose you to be. You know, you're going to be in this mission and ministry. Like, I'm taking you through the fire. I'm taking you through the pressure. I'm taking you through everything, because when you come out, you're going to shine, and you're going to help prove to the world that I'm real. And that's just where I am now. You know, sometimes I go speak different places. They don't want me to talk about God, or you don't want me to come there. Because I ain't nowhere in the world I can talk about Sean Ingram and not talk about, you know what I mean, God. I am nothing. Sean Ingram Academy, the book, nothing is because without God. That just is what it is.
I know, and that's the key. People need to understand they need to put God first. Because
that's
without
it.
Him, we can't do nothing.
And I'm going to be honest with you, I am a, when it comes to my creativity, when it comes to my mindset, when it comes to, you know, my business, I am a control freak, right? I'll be honest with you. And God has broke me down to, like, when you talk about those lowest points, God has broke me down to understand nothing, you ain't in control of nothing. Like, you ain't in control of, this is my mission and my ministry. You just the person I chose to carry it out. You know, so I always tell people, God gave Noah the ark, you know, he gave me the Sean Ingram Academy as a task. So he told Noah to save the animals, he told me to save the youth.
Well, that is truly a blessing, because I'm telling you, they really do need saving. I mean, just going back into your life, I mean, the way this generation is compared to how we grew up, it is mind-boggling to me that they have no fear of nothing.
No. And that's the thing. That's that despondency, though. You know, when you don't feel like you have nothing to live for, and I tell people this all the time. You know, I was suicidal to the point where I didn't want to kill myself, but if I could invoke you to kill me, then it's not like I'm selling out. Does that make any sense? So I would cause altercations in the street with people that I knew that would possibly kill me, right? Because I was that suicidal to that point, right? But I'm not going to take my own life, because then I'm like, okay, that ain't cool neither.
Right.
Right? So, but when you don't understand that, that hurt, that's just the reality of it. So a lot of times I tell people, say, no. You know, and I guess that's why God sent me through everything that I went through, because that's the difference between my program and a lot of other programs. I truly understand the kid. You know what I mean? I could build a relationship. I have the compassion. I have the empathy, because I've been there. I know what it is not to care. I know what it is to look in the mirror and not like yourself or to despise yourself. I know what it is. I know that feeling, or to feel like you're all alone. To feel like you're standing in the middle of thousands and you feel like you're the only person who care about you or love you. I know what that feeling is. So I always tell people, you know, I look at youth or people, homeless people, everybody. The only difference is that I look at everybody as a potential, not as a problem. I think we in society get so caught up looking at each other as a problem. But the problem is, that's what I'm saying, the division. We divide ourselves from problems, but if you look at a person and say, you know what, yeah, this kid got a lot of issues, but this kid could be the next Martin Luther King or the next Malcolm X, right? And if you
right.
see the potential in this kid, then you could be more invested in helping the kid instead of writing the kid off. Well, I don't want nothing to do with that. I ain't got time for them problems. I ain't got time for that. You know, so that's the difference. But like I said, I attribute that to God too, because, you know, and it really came from me having a conversation one day with a good friend of mine, real good friend of mine, and it dawned on me to say, you know what, it's a blessing that she don't understand what I'm talking about, because if she truly understood what I was talking about, that means she'd be crazy just like I am. That means you'd be institutionalized just like I am. You know, because we get so offended and so mad at people who like, I'm trying to explain it to you. I'm like, she ain't never been to prison, son. She can't understand what you're talking about. A person that's never been for, just like you might explain to a mother of child labor, right?
Right.
I don't know. I can read all the books in the world, but until I go through that, I cannot never speak to you on that level.
That is correct, and that's a good point there, Sean.
You know what I mean? I can understand, I can care, I can love you, I can everything, you know what I'm saying? But until I go through that experience, I can never be an expert in that. That's just, you know, so I that's what I think about, and that's why I say for me, you know, I know God chose me to do what I do, because I can look back in hindsight and I can see everything that he put me through to be where I am now.
Well, did you have any inkling at the age of 8 that you would really, really break down and do what God put you here to do?
No, not at all. Yeah. I mean, it was to the point where I wouldn't even talk about it. You know what I mean? Because it's like, I'm tripping. You know, I'm tripping. And I would see myself on stages in front of thousands, you know, and I just didn't know how. You know, I thought it was going to be singing or rapping or something like that. But no, that's like I said, growing up in where I grew up in poverty, not at all. Not at all. Didn't understand it.
So how old were you when you came into that understanding?
I think I'm still coming into the understanding. I was 25 when I accepted, you know what I mean, like the call or the challenge. In a sense.
Okay.
And through then, it's just been a learning process. And I tell people, like, my reality is me and God have real conversations every day to this point, you know, because, you know, let's take the Nail Academy, per se, all right? So my Nail Tech Academy, I've been owning that for 5 years come February. And I remember when that first started, or the opportunity first came for me to take over the Nail Academy, I had just gotten to where I wanted to be with my books and my motivational speaking. So you're talking about I spent 20 years trying to get to a certain point in my career, and then God said, no, that's cool, stop. It's like, no, God, you mean stop? What are you talking about? Like, I worked 20 years to get to this point where now somebody's going to pay me to come speak and I can sell some books, and you telling me to stop and do this Nail Tech Academy thing? Like, it's that, yeah, but that ain't about you. That's for you to help others. God, I can't even help myself right now. Like, I need to help you. You talking about help somebody else, right? And then I went right back into the struggle, right back into my natural struggle, right back into, you know what I mean, people not understanding what's going on, having to learn something totally different, putting everything that I worked 20 years for on the back burner, right? And so, and like you said, that's when I learned, like, okay, it ain't my will. And I tell everybody, my doors and lights should have been closed, you know, cut off every 6 months for the last 5 years. my employees should have walked out 100 times, you know what I'm saying? Not getting paid every week or every Friday. But I knew God had a game plan. And now to look at the position of me and some of the contracts that I made, we just opened up our Nail Technology program inside Youth Detention Centers or Development Centers. So now having a contract with the Department of Public Safety to provide, you know, this Nail Technology program to help, like you said, reduce that recidivism. You know, some of the contracts that I've been able to secure sitting at these. And now you're talking about going into meetings with some millionaires and I ain't even got enough gas, honestly, to get home, right? Like going into a meeting hungry, right? And you're looking at like this bread out, you're like, Lord Jesus, I don't want to seem like I'm hungry, but I'm so hungry right now, I don't know what to do. I can't even concentrate on this meat. And I think most people just either they don't know or they just embarrassed to have these real conversations.
I know what you mean about that. But you know, you have to play that role, even though, you know, you're not a millionaire, but your mindset is in the millionaire status, okay? So when you're around millionaires, millionaires really don't know that you're not a millionaire, okay?
Exactly. They don't know you, like you said, you ain't even got enough money to put in your meter downstairs, you know, like you don't know. And you try to, and you ask the guy, like, why am I sitting at this table, God, and I'm, like, hungry right now. So, like you said, I had to really just learn that, you know, I said the other day, I said, you know, I'm not giving up. I'm just truly letting go and let God so he can do his thing. You know what I mean? I'm learning not to get in his way no more. Because when Sean tried to do something, it always failed. You know? So I learned to let go and let God.
Well, when you get to that point, Sean, I'm telling you, your life can go no way but up. And the thing I had an issue with, I grew up very sheltered, so didn't really know that people were so selfish in this world. And that's been the hardest thing for me to grip with, being in this world, that there are so many selfish people out here. And I've always been a giver. And that's really why I'm not a millionaire. God know I'll give every penny away. So he's trying to get me to the mindset where, okay, we want you to save a little bit for yourself, Linda, so you'll have a decent life.
I'll be honest with you. I came up on my $1 million dream too. I said, I don't think that's movie. Like you said, my heart wanna help.
Yeah, and it was because when I lived in New York, I went there at the time where the homeless people, it was just let out the mental hospital, so they were, you know, in the street, and it was just mind-boggling to me that people could just walk over them like they weren't humans, and just to sit in a restaurant and see that somebody just running a restaurant, and when they see you getting up from the table to grab your scrap, I'm like, man, I can't do this.
So
I basically stayed in New York for about 6 months, and I just couldn't take it because I'm like, God, if you brought me here to make me a millionaire, I'm not going to make it because I'm going to be gave these all of my money.
Exactly.
But it's even, you know, today seeing how nobody really cares about the homeless and stuff, it's just heartbreaking that people just don't care about those type people.
No.
But I'm glad to see you're doing something good with them.
Well, like you said, I've been there. I can't tell you the nights that I stepped in my truck. So I thank God that I just had a truck to sleep in.